I think we would gain a lot by studying a presentation of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal in his Sefer M.S. Liyakov on Parshas Chukas. This is Perek Yutes, Mi Sefer Bamidbar, Pasuk Bei Zos Chukas HaTorah, and the Torah then goes ahead and presents the Yikhu Eilecha Paraduma, the Parsha of Paraduma. Rashi says the following: Lefisha Satan v'umos ha'olam monim es Yisrael. Those who rise against us, they press us on this issue of a chok. Lomar ma mitzvah zos. What is the nature of this mitzvah called? Called paraduma, ma tam yeshba. It doesn't make any rational sense. So they use the parish of the mitzvah paraduma to needle Klal Yisrael. Leficha kasav ba chuka, and the Torah right up front calls it a chuka. Gzera hi milfanai, ein lecha rishus laharach reha. That's the language of Rashi. This is a gzera. This was a divine decree. We have no permission to think and ask. That's the strength that we are given, the command, the mandate of a chukah. Don't be pressured by the goyim who try to needle us, by the satan who tries to press us on this issue to prove to us that we shouldn't be believers. We are dedicated to the Torah, to the chok of the Torah. We have no permission to think and rethink and double think about the meaning of the mitzvahs. Nira de ikra shel paraduma. When we're talking about Paraduma as a vehicle for the Umos HaOlam to pressure us, to try to undermine the Torah, we're talking not about the mitzvah per se, but about the dinim, the special mechanism, the rules that govern Paraduma, Shemitaheres HaTmeim, Umitamas HaTmeim, that on the one hand, the Paraduma and the Mechatas has the power of generating Tara to those who are Tmeim, but on the other hand, it's Mitami, those who are Tahar. And Al Zeh Omar Shlomo, with regard to this set of laws that are paradoxical, Shlomo declared in Koheles, the seventh chapter, Marti Echkama, I thought I could dedicate myself to understanding the Torah, the Hirachoka Mimeni, but rather it's beyond my comprehension. This is the divine wisdom that's not human, that's not rational, we cannot understand it. Even Shlomo HaMelech admits defeat in this case. He doesn't have the capacity to explain and understand Paraduma, that it's Metar the Tmeim, Umetame Esatohorim. So it means Gzera Gazarti Chuka Chakakti Ein Lecha Rishus La'arach Reha. And this is the Yisod, this really is the fundamental premise and principle that underlies all Avoda Meira, all of the service Hashem that is a result of Yirah Shamayim, of our fear of God. We accept His chukah, we accept His gzera, we don't question it. We follow it to the T, we're dedicated to observe it. And his barti, here the Emes Liyakov, refers to the Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Tzadi Zayin, who says, quote, even though it was my goal in writing and composing the Sefer Chinuch, Lichtov Remozim Mitame HaMitzvos, to give at least hints and allusions to the meaning of the mitzvos, their significance, Al Tzarap Pshat, as close as possible to the simple understanding of the meaning of the mitzvah. Nevertheless, he says, "B'mitzvah zu, regarding this mitzvah, I have to pick up my hands and admit defeat. Rafu yodai, my arms are weak. V'ira, and I am absolutely afraid. Liftos pe'olel klal, to try in any way to utter or indicate some even slight explanation to rationalize the mitzvah paraduma. Gam b'pshat, even by looking for the meaning of the mitzvah, kira isi l'rabosenu, I have become aware of the fact that our rabbis, herichu adibur ba'omek soda, v'godol inyana, They have, in a very lengthy and outspoken way, indicated that the depth of the meaning, the secret mystery, the great drama of Parah Adumah is beyond our comprehension. At Sha'omru, they declared, Sheshlomo HaMelech, even King Solomon, who is someone who is Hisig L'das B'Ribu Chachmas, so called Tamei HaTorah, that he achieved an understanding through his wisdom of all the meanings that underline the mitzvot, respectively each mitzvah, Chutz Mizu, but this is the exception. Parah Adumah is outside the pale of the understanding, comprehension, even of Shlomo, the king who was Chacham Mikol Adam. Sha'omar Aleha Amarti Ech Kaba V'Yirchoka Mimeni. This is the language of the Sefer HaChinuch. So with this one mitzvah in mind, the Sefer HaChinuch raises his hands, admits that he's not even going to express in any way, shape, or form, take any attempt, any stab at explaining the logic that underlies the laws of this mitzvah. Says the Emes LeYaakov, L'chora u'tamua, what's the big deal? And in the myriads of explanations that he gave and incorporated in this book, Sefer HaChinuch, for the mitzvahs, did the Sefer HaChinuch really believe that in each particular case that he offered a tam for the mitzvah, this tam, as formulated by the Sefer, is the true reason for the mitzvah? V'anan leslon de Rabbi Shimon. We reject the opinion of Rav Shimon in favor of the Shita of the Chachamim. It's only Rav Shimon who's Doresh Tama Dekra, who looks for meaning and rational explanations for the mitzvahs of the Torah, but we accept the Chachamim Shita. L'didan, according to us, whenever we offer a Tama Mitzvah, all we're doing is we're saying, Ono Mekayimim Osa Narviach Mizeh Gam Tam Musari, that in the act of the mitzvah and the implementation thereof, will also gain some sort of ethical principle. But that's an addition on top. It's a cherry on top. It's not the essence of the mitzvah. We could never explain or rationalize any mitzvah. It's divine wisdom. And therefore, getting back to the chinuch and Parah Adumah, my ichpaslan, what would it matter to us if Nasa came before, if we would again offer some sort of ethical explanation that would give us added meaning in the mitzvah of Parah Adumah? What do we lose by that? Oh. But maybe we should say the following. What Shlomo is telling us is that kol mitzvasa hi b'shvil gzera gazarti. When Shlomo HaMelech speaks in Koheles about the Gzeira Gazarti, he's telling us the very essence of the mitzvah. If we were to rationalize the mitzvah of Parah Adumah, we're undermining, vitiating the very essence of the mitzvah. Any tam that we find in the kiyum of this mitzvah is going to diminish the purpose of the mitzvah, replete the mitzvah of its goal. Its goal is to convey to us that gzeira gazarti, chuka chakakti ein lecha rishus laharachra. That is the essence and the goal of Parah Adumah. Therefore, any attempt at explaining the mitzvah will detract from the mitzvah, defeat its very, very purpose. And that's why the Sefer HaChinuch writes that in regard to this mitzvah, and only this mitzvah, I have no intention of taking any shot at the mitzvah to explain it logically, because the mitzvah itself, by its very essence, is meant to be a gzeirah. And now we begin to understand, says Rav Yaakov, why this mitzvah, this parash of Parah Adumah, was given to Yisrael at Mara. Now there are a number of parashios that were given at Mara before Matan Torah, including Shabbos, Kibud Av Va'em, Dinim. These were all given at a place called Mara, you remember. Sham Samlal Choku Mishpat. But why Parah Adumah? What's unique about Parah Adumah?
By the way, and we'll have to touch on this a little bit later, just historically, in terms of the mitzvah of Paraduma, was this parash actually given before Matan Torah? That itself is a little bit of a controversy. Certainly Rav Yaakov understood, as most Gedolei Yisrael did, and even the Rishonim understood, that Paraduma was given at Marah. But we'll get back to that later if we have time. Says Rav Yaakov, Mishum Shagotza, Shein Yekaimu, Eze Mitzvah Lamaisa. God wanted to give him a trial period of implementing a number of mitzvahs to get them into the shvum, get them used to doing mitzvahs even before they receive the Torah. That was the purpose of Mara. The yu muchanim al yedei zeh, through the practice of mitzvahs, lekabolas haTorah lekiyum mitzvoseh. The mitzvahs would come in one fell swoop. After Kabbalah Satorah Har Sinai, it would be too much, it would be a daunting task for Klal Yisrael to rise up to that calling. But rather, let's get them used to it. Let's break them in with some mitzvahs. Let them implement a certain number of mitzvahs. And then they're in the shvum. They're ready to be Makabal Torah, to be Makayim the mitzvahs. Avol Parah Aduma Dayini Efshar Hayu L'Kayim. Says Rav Yaakov, I don't understand if the purpose of the mitzvahs given at Marah is to prepare them. It's an exercise, a training period, that they should get used to doing the mitzvos and implementing them even before Kabbalah Satorah Har Sinai. That doesn't apply to Paraduma. The Dinim of Paraduma make it impossible to implement this parasha and its Dinim before Matan Torah, because there's a separate halacha of Ol Moed with regard to Paraduma. The parah has to be brought the pischo shel heichal. This is before the mishkan was built, and certainly before the Torah was given. In kein matam masro lehem. What was the purpose of giving them the parasha of parah duma at Marah before matan Torah? They couldn't have possibly implemented it at that time. It's too early. The Mishkan wasn't built yet. The Mishkan of the end of Shmos, and we're talking about Mara at the beginning of Shmos, there's no Paraduma so far. It depends upon the Mishkan. So it wasn't exercise, it wasn't training, not in Lamaisa anyway. So we have to come up with a slightly different formulation for why Paraduma was given at Mara together with the other mitzvahs that are practical. But if we read Rashi in Parshas B'Shalach very carefully, Rashi writes regarding Mara, and this is in Parshas B'Shalach Tesvav, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Nosan le'miktsas Parshas Shatorshis Asku Bahem. It would seem from the language of Rashi that the purpose and the goal of these parshios that were given at Mara was for study. The kavanah, the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is limud haTorah, not kiyum haMitzvos. Not the way we described it before. It was a training session, breaking them into kiyum haMitzvos. But yiskonenu leKabbalas haTorah yedei limuda. Through the study of Torah, they would prepare for Kabbalas haTorah. And now we can begin to understand why Dafka Paraduma was chosen. Because from this parasha, we derive the conclusion that we don't fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem because we understand them. It's not based on our rational insights into the meaning that underlie the mitzvahs that we fulfill the mitzvahs. Seichel doesn't play a role over here with regard to mitzvahs. And it doesn't matter whether the mitzvahs look and appear in our eyes, in our minds, of being correct, of being meaningful, hagunim. But on the contrary, here in Paraduma, we have a mitzvah which is completely because of the Gzeira Gazarti, and yet we fulfill it. That's what we learn from the limud of Parshas Paraduma, that the mitzvahs are Gzeiros, and that's how we fulfill them. We are dedicated and committed to Kabbalah Satorah, to all mitzvahs, even without understanding them. That's the preparation for all the mitzvahs of Torah. That even if we could understand the other mitzvahs of the Torah with our seichel, with our intelligence, our intellect, nevertheless, that's not what motivates us to be mekayim the mitzvahs, but rather we fulfill the mitzvahs because of the tzivui Hashem. That limud is frontal stage, is essential in the and inherent in the in the Parsha of Paraduma. That's going to be perhaps the greatest preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. And Rav Yaakov finishes this up, a brilliant presentation, by saying the following: that we can now understand the drasha of the Gemara in Brachos Samach Gimel Amid Beis, Zos Chukas HaTorah. Correct? In our parsha, it says Zos Chukas HaTorah. And the Gemara in Brachos Samach Gimel Amid Beis speaks about a person who dedicates himself to the study of Torah. And guess what? The drasha, the limud, about dedicating ourselves totally to Torah study, the famous phrase of Chazal in the Gemara Brachos, that Eina Torah miskayemes el b'misha memis atzmo oleha, is our parasha, the parasha Paraduma. Zos Torah Adam ki yomas ba'oel. And offhand, one would find this connection between the drasha from which we derive memis atzmo bi'ohol shel Torah and the parasha Paraduma. What's the connection between the two? Wouldn't it be more logical to derive such a conclusion about the dedication to Talmud Torah from the parasha of Vishinantom Levanecha, the very parasha, the source for the mitzvah, the obligation of Talmud Torah? But the answer is beautiful, because this parasha was given in order to prepare the Jewish people for Kabbalah Satorah, to teach them that the Torah is above our comprehension, that we fulfill the Torah and implement its mitzvahs because it's the will of God, and we are committed in an absolute way to fulfill the will of God. Not because the mitzvahs are logical, maybe they are, maybe they're not. Maybe they appeal to us, maybe they don't. Maybe they seem right, or they don't seem right. Maybe they're natural, maybe they're not natural. It doesn't matter. But gzeira gazarti, and therefore, ein lecha rishus la'arach re'ah, we're dedicated to the mitzvah. That's what's inherent in Parshas Paraduma. That's the key lesson that explains why Paraduma was given at Marah to prepare them for all the mitzvahs of Torah. And if that be the case, then in this parsha, Chazal find a remez that it's impossible to achieve an in-depth comprehension of Torah unless we dedicate Amel v'yigiyo, until we dedicate all of our efforts, memis atzmo ba'ol shel Torah, because the Torah itself is so profound, it's divine, it's lamala misechel enosh, it's above human logic and comprehension, and therefore we need absolute dedication of amelus and yigia to Torah shememis atzmo in order to achieve the kiyum of Torah. All this is inherent in the parasha of Paraduma. And in fact, the Chizkuni on Zos Chukas HaTorah, the very introduction to our parasha, he says the following. He writes, Chok Zeh, Chok Shel Horios Tuma. This is the chok that teaches us the rules and regulations that govern Tumah v'Tahara. Ubi Echad b'Nisan. When was this parasha given to Klal Yisrael? On the first of Nisan. What's significant about that calendar date? B'yom Shehukam HaMishkan. That's when the Mishkan was erected. And on that very day, the parasha of Tumah, the parasha of Paraduma was given. Lefisha b'yom ha-machras, and the very day after Hakamas HaMishkan, Nisrafa HaPara, according to Yushalmi Megillah, the first Paraduma in history to be burnt to generate the Mechatos for Tara purposes was on the day, the second day of Nisan,
following Hakamash HaMishkan, Lios Nitharim Lepischeyem, because the Karban Pesach is less than 2 weeks down the line, we have to purify the people so and facilitate the bringing of the Karban Pesach. So now the Chizkuni is faced by a problem. Why is this parsha of Paraduma here in Chukas appear after the parsha of Korach, which was way later, when it was in fact, in truth, given much earlier historically? Chronologically, it was given on the 2nd of Nisan, at the beginning of the trip of Bnei Yisrael, the travels through the Midbar. Says the Chizkuni, listen carefully, Afal Piche Nichtava, why was the parsha written here at this particular juncture? Why was it placed here? Rafi Shahayu Mihem Tmei Mesim Mimachlekuso Shal Korach. Because in truth, following the aftermath of the controversy, of the feud that was generated by Korach and his aid against Moshe, with the terrible Magefa, and there were so many Tmei Mesim, now the parsha of Parah Aduma becomes pressing, it becomes practical. And the Chizkuni here might be disagreeing with the Ramban, who writes that a parsha zos tashlim b'toras kohen, of this parsha of Parah Aduma, it's the hashlama, it's the completion of Toras Kohanim, v'nichtuva kan achar matnos kahuna lomar shegam ta'arosan shel Yisrael ayidei kohen tiyeh. In other words, according to Ramban, the juxtaposition following Parshas Korach and his machlokas against Moshe, his uprising against Moshe here, Paradum is placed here in order to further elucidate and enhance the scope of the responsibility and the authority of the Kohanim. We've already indicated at the end of Parshas Korach that the Kohanim will receive the Matnas Kahuna, which we saw was in a sense a way to placate, and the Kohanim who were attacked by, whose status and stature was attacked by Korach Vadoso. So there was a tit for tat, there was a gift that was given and bestowed upon the Kohanim that they would receive the Matnos Kahuna. But not only that, now at the beginning of Parshas Chukas, the Torah goes beyond and expands further the scope and the power and authority of the Kohanim. They're in charge of Tumah V'Tara. In this realm, they reign supreme. They have total sovereign reign on Tara. And that has to come following the Machlokes of Korach Vadoso against the institution of Kahuna. So we have now the Ramban and the Chizkuni, both of whom address the question why Chukas HaTorah, Parshas Paraduma, was placed right here following the merit of Korach Vadoso. And in the light of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and his presentation that the Paraduma Parsha contains within it the fundamental principle that we are committed to the Torah without logic, that also might help us understand, enhance our understanding of why it was placed here following the machlokas of Korach Vadoso. They came with their logical arguments. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. You have a bias mole sforim. What's the need for a mezuzah? You've got a talis shekula tcheles. Why do you have to add a single string of tcheles to the beged that's attached to the beged that's kulei tcheles? The approach to halacha of Korach was the logical approach, and the parsha that follows immediately after the machlokas of Korach, namely Chukas and Paraduma, is meant to teach us something about the entire corpus of the Torah. There's a different logic, it's a divine logic, it's gzera, gazarti, ein lecha reshus laharach reha. This is the parsha that really waves the banner of an anti-Korach argument philosophy by saying that the Torah is gzerahi milfonai. And ein lecha reshus, there's no logic here. The Chidushi Arim of the Ger Rebbe
focuses on Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, and I think he conveys a similar idea. The Parsha begins with the Eila HaMishpatim. The Vav of the Eila catches the attention of Chazal. Rashi says, the Eila Mosif Al HaRishonim, that the Torah here with the Vav is hooking us, is connecting the Parsha of law and ethics back to Har Sinai, the more ceremonial or ritual dimensions of the Torah, the Mitzvot HaTorah. Says the Chidushi Arim, and you'll see it right there on the top of your page, Shalom Nechshov, we shouldn't think when we approach Mishpatim that Kevan Shemuvanim Heim, since they have an inner appeal to our sense of logic and morality, Al Pi Seichel Adam, is therefore one might say that it's not like the Torah, the rest of the Torah, which is divine in origin. Maybe the Mishpatim were created by Moshe Rabbeinu or by another legal body of ethicists, you know, that were appointed as a think tank to come up with the Mishpatim. Lakacho Sifar Torah Vav Lomar. The Vav teaches us Kimo Sharishonim Hainu Achukim She'eno Muvanim Al Pi Seichel Nitnu Bar Sinai Kmo Chena Mishpatim Nitnu Bar Sinai. I believe that the Chidush Arim is extending and expanding what we've already seen. Don't set up two categories, says the Rim. Number one, mitzvos, which are lamaila min haseichel achukim, they're eina muvanim. And number two, the mitzvos and the mishpatim, which are muvanim al pi seichel adam. No. Understand that we should break down the barrier that separates those categories. Even those mishpatim that we believe we understand, they too are deeper and more profound than human understanding. A person should never come along and say, I understand the mitzvah, the halacha, and its reasoning. But rather a person should fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem because he was commanded. And that's how he should obviously fulfill the chukim, but not only that, that should be his attitude as he approaches the mishpatim as well. Everything, the entire corpus of the Torah, chukim, mishpatim, logical, not logical, should be fulfilled with the attitude of kiyum ratzon Hashem. I am absolutely committed to fulfill God's will, implement his ratzon. Do I understand the logic? I can add, as Rav Yaakov says, some moral thinking that maybe enhances the mitzvah, gives me an extra musa shmuz, something that impacts on my soul. But we have to realize that that's not the essence of the Torah and the mitzvahs. And even that section of the Torah that we think are logical, how dare we claim or believe that we can exhaust this mitzvah with the logic that we come up with? That's absolutely not so. And I'm reminded of two other sugyas in Masechta Brachos. The first, you'll see as the second source in your page, is a very famous Agadic presentation regarding Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And the Gemara on Daf Yud in Brachos explains that Chizkiyahu fell ill and he was on his deathbed. Yeshayahu HaNavi comes to visit him and he says, Kama Hashem, Tzav lebeischa ki meisata velo tichye. Look at the double language of Yeshaya. You should pass on the legacy to your children, you're the next generation, bequeath to them what you will, because you will die and you won't live. So immediately the Gemara asks, what's the double language? It's superfluous. My, what does it mean? Ki meisata velo tichye. Meisata b'olam hazeh velo tichye l'olam haba. That's what Yeshayahu told Chizkiyahu HaMelech, one of the great righteous kings, one of the tzaddikim of all time. Amar lei, mai kulei hai? I don't understand. What did I do so terribly wrong that I lose not only this world, but even the next? Amar lei, and this is a very famous statement of Yeshayahu HaNavi, the way it's formulated in Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishum delo asakta b'piri avarivya. You thought that you had calculations, that you wouldn't have children. I saw that down the line, amongst my offspring would be those that are not worthy. They're evildoers. I didn't want to bring those people into this world. So therefore, Chizkiyahu defends himself by not getting married because of a cheshbon, a calculation, which at the surface of it seems absolutely logical. Why get involved in a mitzvah that's going to end up in the creation, in the addition of Rishayim into this world? Surely I should abstain from the mitzvah period of Arivya. And says Yishayo Anovi, Bahadi Kafshi Drachmana Lomaloch. Rashi says, Kafshi Drachmana, Starim. Starim Yiloshan Seter. These are things that are concealed. They're only revealed in front of Almighty God. Lomalocha. What shaykhis do you have? But rather, my demifkats, if there's a pekuda, as we say in the army today, pekuda, you know, you've gotten the command, you've gotten the mandate, the Torah says, that's what you have to do. You have to fulfill the will of God. Don't make cheshbonos. No calculations. What'll turn out and how God will present, will evolve the sequence of events, that's in the divine realm. But in the human realm, you have no hand, you have no vision in that which is coming in the divine realm and domain. Mashinirlo Lakodesh Baruch Hu Lasos Hu Yaseh Ein Zeha Isik Shevcha. None of your business to kayim es a mitzvah mutel selecha b'li lasot cheshbonot. In other words, don't use human logic to calculate whether this is the way you should do it, that is the way you should do it. You've got to follow what the Torah tells you. And that's why in halacha, in Jewish morality, the concept of two wrongs don't make a right. You know, just because somebody did something wrong, therefore you also could do something wrong. That's not true. You have to be pure, you have to be dedicated to shmirat halacha, to fulfill the halacha as it was given to the T, and don't make any cheshbonos. And as I indicated, there's a second sugyan brachos that I think likewise might lead us in this direction, at least according to one school of thought. That's the sugyan brachos lamid gimel towards the bottom of page 1. The Mishnah speaks about the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, ha'omer al kan tzipor yagiru rachamecha. Is Mishaskin also, Rashi explains that a person who wants to indicate that Hashem has Rachmanus, Anoshim Shayu Marim Atzmam Kimiskavnim Lahamik Beloshim Tachnunim, they wanted to embellish their prayers, their petitions to God. V'yomrim, and they say, Rachum v'chananat, Almighty God, you are such a rachum, you're so compassionate. Al kan tzipor yagiru rachamecha. You told us to send away the mother bird before we take the fledglings. It means that this mitzvah shiluach hakan is an expression of chesed, of rachmanut, of compassion. And then the Mishnah says, Mishaskin also. Why Mishaskin also? Why do we tell such a person, shut up, you have no right to say this? Is it not the case that what underlies the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, the logic behind this mitzvah, is the Rachmanut of Hashem? Can I not praise Hashem as being the Rachman because I understand the nature and the purpose of the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan? And the Ramban, in fact, which you'll see on the bottom of page 1, Gamzu mitzvah mevueres, and certainly the mitzvah is clear in its purpose, it's even more clear than Oso Vespinolo Sishka to Biom Echad, Ki Atam B'Shneim, in both these commands, Lebilti Hayos Lanu Lev Achzari, the Torah is trying to uproot a callous heart, Velona Rachem, from our midst, that we should not, Chas V'Shalom, have compassion. Certainly we want to have compassion. And in the next paragraph, the Ramban quotes the Mora of the Rambam, who says, quote, Ki avas ha'em v'chanosa l'vnei bitna einenu nimshach achar ha'secha v'adibur. when we differentiate between human beings and animals, that differentiation, that categorization, says the Rambam, is totally irrelevant to the natural love that a mother bird has for its offspring, because that love is not something that reflects the seichel, the intellect, the koach hadibur, the capacity of man to speak, but rather, says the Rambam, avol hu mipa'ulas koach hamachshava metziya bebehema. Even the animal has this basic feeling of love for its offspring. Says the Ramban, I have trouble in one particular point with the Rambam, although again, the Ramban basically embraces the interpretation of these mitzvahs as the Rambam has presented them, but he doesn't understand why in the case of Oso v'Espino, based on the Rambam's presentation about the love of a parent for its offspring, would it be prohibited to slaughter the father and then slaughter the child? The Issur should be limited to the case of Bino and then Oso, in that sequence. But he says, Hakol Harchoka. The Torah didn't want to get into such nitty-gritty details and formulate the law in such a way that it depends which, the father or the son, who did you check first, so the Torah made a blanket Isur. But the goal and the purpose, the rationale behind this mitzvah is crystal clear, and that is Rachmanut. Have pity and compassion. Oh, but there is another approach, and the Rambam is aware of it. And this is a sugya again in Brachos, this time on Lamed Beis, Omid Beis. So we've had the sugya on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Now we're going back to the sugya my mistake. I'm sorry. Now the Rambam is going to quote a Medrash in Brachos Rabbah with regard to the mitzvah of Shechita, and that's going to present the opposite view, which is anti Tamei HaMitzvos, absolute anti-Tamei HaMitzvos, even in what seems to us to be the most logical and attractive, simple explanation, the ethical meaning of the Torah. No, that's not the way the mitzvos are given. So that the Mishnah says, Mishaskin also, if you remember, regarding Kansipar, so the Rambam identifies that Mishnah with the same opinion of one of the Tanoim as it's reflected in Brachos Rabbah. What difference does it make whether you shecht the animal from the front, the neck, or you shecht the animal not from the throat but from the back, from the hard part on the back? But rather, halo nitnu amitzvos el litzarif benes abrios. The mitzvos and their implementation is a cathartic experience. It's an act of tziruf. Tziruf means cleansing. Because man is dedicated to the mitzvah, he doesn't understand the mitzvah. It's only given, and this is a member of Rav in the Medrash Rabbah, you'll see it on your page, Lo nitnu ha-mitzvah sel tzarif ben ha-sabrios. Forget about logic. Forget about rationalizing the mitzvah. Leave that all out. It's purely tzarif ben ha-sabrios. God could have said other things, and they also would have been divine commands that would be cathartic in the way when they're implemented. But the answer is no. Although that is one opinion, according to the Rambam, that's not the accepted opinion. We do have a right to rationalize mitzvahs. And we can use human logic and apply thereof to understand the meaning of the mitzvahs. The Mishnah in Brachos on Daf Lamed Gimel is reflecting the Shita of Rav as it appears in the Brachos Rav and the Medrash regarding Shechita, namely, Lo nitnu amitzos el litzarif behen es habrios. But we don't accept that approach, says the Rambam. Our approach is to try to explain the mitzvahs as best as we can, use human logic to explain the mitzvahs. And the Ramban seems to embrace the opinion of the Rambam, as it's formulated and expressed in the Mor Nevuchim. But again, we still have Rav Yaakov's point that even if you go with the Rambam and the Ramban to explain and attempt to understand the mitzvah, rationalize it, but nevertheless we have to understand that that's a tosefes. That's just the luxury item. That's just the cherry on top. But the mitzvos themselves, essentially, are gzeros. They are mandated by a divine being whose knowledge, whose comprehension, whose depth of thought is way, way beyond human capacity. Interesting, on the side, the Rambam in Ilchus Mamrim, Perek Vav, when he presents the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'em, a mitzvah that was given at Mara and reflects a logical, ethical law or principle that has been accepted by all nations, the Rambam says, Yira v'yafachay mimelech malcham lochem shetzivo bekach. His awesome fear in the presence of his parents is generated by his fear of Almighty God, the King of Kings, who commanded him in the mitzvos of Mora and Kibud. And when the Rambam employs that kind of language of a gzera that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enacted and embodied in the midst of Kibud Av Va'em, let's read the Rambam inside. Ad Heichanu Kibud Av Va'em, what are the parameters and how far does the Torah push the envelope with regard to Kibud Av Va'em? Afilu Notlo, or Notlu, I guess it's either father, mother, or both. Kis shel zehuvim shelo v'shlicho b'fanav liyam lo yachlimem v'lo yitzayr b'fneim v'lo yichos kinegdom el yikabel gzeres hakos v'yishtok. The Rambam identifies the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'em as a gzeres hakos. That equation indicates an approach that's totally antithetical to that of the Rambam that is reflected in his Mora L'Nevuchim. You know, instead of looking for logic behind the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'em, here in Ilchus Mamrim in the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam presents the mitzvah as a gzeras hakosuf, which means ein l'chol rishus laharach reha. I indicated before that there's some historical issue about Parah Aduma, whether it was actually given, the parsha was given at Mora. And this whole hullabaloo about it is pretty modern in the last, I would say, 60, 70 years. The Tar Tmima, in his commentary on Rashi in Mara, which is in Parashas Beshalach, that's Shmos Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Chav Gimel, where the Torah says, Vayavo Marasa, and Vayilonu Ha'am al Moshe, and then the Torah says, Sham Sam Lo Chok Umishpat Visham Niso, says Rashi, Bemara Nosan Lohem, God gave to the people of Israel, Miktas Parshiel Shel Torah, Sheis Askubahem, Shabbos, Paraduma Vedinim. And you recall that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky had quoted this Rashi. See, obviously, takes this Rashi, Kipshuto, it's a very serious, binding, final word in Rashi, that Parah Aduma was amongst those parshios that were given to Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah in Mara. And the Parah Aduma says that this is all based on a mistaken text, a Tos Sofer as we call it, because it, in truth it said Chaf Aleph, not Pei Aleph. Chaf Aleph is Rashi Tevis for Kibud Ahav, and Pei Aleph, had it been written as a pay, would be Paraduma. So one of the Matikim who copied over the manuscript way back when thought that instead of Chaf Aleph, it should say Pay Aleph. So he automatically assumed that it's Paraduma and not Kibud Av. And that Tos was in the Shtarava in Rashi because Rashi was quoted as saying Parah Aduma when in fact Rashi was referring to Kibud Av. But again, I don't think the opinion, the approach of the Tar Tmim was accepted. Even the Tar Tmim himself in his Sefer Makar Baruch admits this is the problem here, because the Ramban quotes Rashi and doesn't whisper a word. He doesn't blink about the fact that the Rashi mentions Parah Aduma
He says, "Kamagdola haplia ki gama Ramban nigrar acharei atos hazos." He, the Ramban, copies Rashi the way we have it without even blinking. No comment is added, and it's paraduma. And you know, with all due respect to the Torah Tmima, I know my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik on a number of occasions was upset with the chidushim of the Makar Baruch when he would claim that there was some sort of toes in the Matikim. The Rav didn't go for that, and he would try very hard to disprove the presentation of the Baal Torah Tmima. And in this case, we see that the Ramban quotes it the way it appears in our Rashi, without any commentary, without any objection. We saw that Rav Yaakov certainly understood that. And we may even find it in other sources. Let's take a look for a moment at Rashi elsewhere. In this case, not Rashi in Parshas Beshalach, but Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim. On the pasuk Vayovo Moshe Vayisaper Lam is called Divrei Hashem is called Mishpatim Vayan Kolam Kol Echad. Rashi grapples with the problem at the end of Parshas Mishpatim in Perek Chaf Dalet of Shmos. What was Moshe conveying? What was he telling the people of Israel? What are these Mishpatim when in fact we're dealing with the day before the Torah was given? So what Mishpatim is Hashem giving through Moshe? And Rashi says, Sheva mitzvah shenitztavu b'nei Noach. Okay, that's good. We have an entire section of mitzvos, the Sheva mitzvah b'nei Noach, which were given to the b'nei Noach way before Har Sinai. So that's something that we can understand. Moshe is conveying to the people, transmitting to them, and reviewing with them before Matan Torah. But then Rashi has Shabbos, the kibud av va'em uparaduma v'dinim shenit lembabara. Rashi has both kibud av va'em and paraduma. Clearly, the two categories. And Rav Noach Olbaum Shlita points out that if you look at the piyut, the yotzer, for those who say yotzos, that don't include me. Unfortunately, I have to admit I don't say yotzos. But if you recite the yotzos in this case for Parshas Para, it says v'neman atola hachios mesim in the brach of tchias mesim of gruros, and on that phrase of v'neman ato, the Python adds the following phrase. He says mimara chuka gozar. Migavnun Imra Nigzar. And the commentary says the following, Od Biyos B'nei Yisrael Bimara, that's Mimara, is Chuka Gozar, Kfar Gozar Hashem Chok Hapora. Migavnun, which is a reference to Har Sinai, Imra Nigzar, Nigzar Ashenis. And it's included in the mitzvot of Hashem by virtue of the fact that it was repeated, it was given a second time to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. But the Tchias HaMesim here is connected by the Paiton to the parasha of Chukas Paraduma, because Chukas HaParaduma is definitely connected to Mesim and to Tchias HaMesim. But it's clear, at least this Paiton, which is a pretty ancient piyut, reflects the opinion of Rashi that Mimara Chuka Gaza, the Chuka of Paraduma, was indeed delivered to Bnei Yisrael at Mara. So I think the argument of the Torah Tmima might rest on the side. And if you'll ask me, well, why was Paraduma given at Mara when in fact it would be impossible to implement it at that time in Mara before the Mishkan was built? The answer is that the Hisaskus B'Torah, the study of Torah for the purpose of preparing Bnei Yisrael for Kabbalah Satorah, was achieved at Mara, primarily through Paraduma, through which we learn the basic message of all the mitzvos, and that is that the mitzvos are gzeros. As much as we try to understand them, we have to realize that or our suggestions are only speculations that might enhance our mitzvah on a moral level, but they don't refer and reveal the essence of the mitzvah and the answer to the question why God gave the mitzvah. They don't exhaust the meaning of the mitzvah.
And that itself had to be given at Mara before Matan Torah, so that they'd be ready to understand the proper attitude towards the Mitzvah HaTorah. Let us take a look at the Archaim HaKadosh here at the beginning of Parshas Chukas on the words Zos Chukas HaTorah. And the Archaim has a beautiful diuk in his meticulous reading of the text. Why did the Torah use this phrase Zos Chukas HaTorah? We have other phrases that appear in the Torah. For example, in Shmos Yud Beis, it says Zos Chukas HaPesach. So Zos Chuka is followed by the name of this particular section of the Torah, this particular mitzvah. It should have said, instead of Zos Chukas HaTorah, Zos Chukas HaTuma, or Zos Chukas HaTara, like Zos Chukas HaPesach. And his answer to this question is quite fascinating. He calls it Biderech Remez, it's an illusion, conveying the following message: Yirtzeh bi'omer chukas haTorah shem yekaimu mitzvah zu. When a person fulfills this mitzvah, gam heyosa chukah below tam, male olav hakosuv kilukimu haTorah kula asher tziva Hashem leimor. Ki kira mitzvahs below tam yagid hatzdokas haemuna vaskomas hanefesh l'kaim kol mitzvos habore v'zelucholi os. A beautiful and poetic presentation of the great Arachayim HaKadosh. What's inherent in the word Batorah, HaTorah, excuse me, Zos Chukas HaTorah, not Zos Chukas HaPesach, or Zos Chukas HaTuma, or Zos Chukas HaTara, but Zos Chukas HaTorah, is that this chok, if it's implemented as such, as a chok, in which we completely suspend our rational capacity to understand this mitzvah, is really in essence a kiyum of kol haTorah kula of all the mitzvahs habore. This is the os, this is indicative of all the mitzvahs. And therefore, through its implementation, it's as if he was mekayim chukas haTorah, meaning kol haTorah kula. Because when we fulfill the mitzvahs Hashem without understanding their reasoning, then that's very telling, that's very revealing about our emunah, our faith, in which we justify the Torah simply because of the faith that we understand we will fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah because they were divinely given. That's the message, the powerful message inherent in Parah Aduma, and therefore the phrase Zos Chukas HaTorah. And on the Pasuk, Sham Samlo Choku Mishpat, back tomorrow, the Balaturim says Ze Parah Aduma. And he was centuries upon centuries before the Torah Tmimah, and yet he identifies the chok of Mara as the chok. It's like the chok with a hey ayidia, Parah Aduma. Kishem shezeh hamar mamtik hamorim. And he finds an intricate logical connection between Parah Aduma and what took place at Mara. Let's go back to the parasha of Mara. If you remember, Lo yuchlu lishtos mayim mimara ki marim heim. The waters were bitter, and they could not drink these waters. Kach, says the Baal Turim, Parah Aduma mitaheres hatmeim umitama hataorim. He says, so too, there's a certain merirus, if you will, in the fact that here is something, the mechatos of Parah Aduma, that paradoxically, on the one hand, has the power to be metaires hatmeim. The tara power inherent in the Parah Aduma is so great that it touches on even the avi avos hatuma, namely tumas mes. And yet, there's a merirus over here. There's a certain element of bitterness that the people who are osek in the para, they prepare the para, they burn the para, they become themselves tmeim. And he points out, as he always does, that the gematria is very telling. Shum, which is the first word in this phrase, referring to the mitzvos that were given at Mara, Shin Mem, which is 440, sorry about that, 340, you're right. That gematria is the same gematria as Parah Aduma. Now, keep in mind, the resh of Parah is already 200. And the pay of para is 80. There are two hays here that gets you up to 90, and the dalet vav gets you up to 100. Add the mem and the aleph, and you're already at 41. Again, there's a discrepancy here. If I'm not mistaken, please do the calculation of 1, but that's okay in gematria. So basically, the gematria of sham is equal to para duma. And there in Mara, where they experience the marirus, the confusion, if you will, the timhon lev of having to drink water which was not drinkable, the paraduma has within it a certain element of confusion as well, because it's metame, paradoxically, the tahorim, but that's our dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite the fact that things look bitter. We have to have a emunah, the faith that God will, and that's the challenge of Mara, of the Mayim Marim of Mara, that we have to believe that God means it for our benefit, and we will be given sweet waters to drink. And Moshe Rabbeinu actually is the vehicle of Hashem to bring that about. And so too in the Paraduma, perhaps we don't understand, we're confused by the Gzeirah Milfanai of Paraduma, and we're being even pressured and needled by the Umas Olam and the Satan who's Makatrik, but nevertheless we have to have a dedication of Emunah, which makes it into Zos Chukas HaTorah, in the words of the Archaim, Yagid Hatzdokas HaEmunah V'Askomas HaNefesh L'Kayim Kol Mitzvah Saborei. That's the Emunah of the Tzaddik that's inherent in the fulfillment of the Dinim and the Parsha of Paraduma. And it's interesting that the Medrash, in describing Moshe going up to the heavens, Shama kolo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyoshe v'osek v'parshas paraduma v'omer halacha b'shem omra. According to this opinion in the Medrash Tanchuma, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Maram and he was listening, he overheard the voice of Hashem as God was learning Torah. That's the very esoteric understanding of Chazal, that God Himself, the Almighty b'chvodo v'atzmo, is osek b'Torah. And which parasha did Moshe catch him learning? Him with the capital H. It was the parasha of the Paraduma. And that's because the parasha of Paraduma is so critical. It's so fundamental. It represents our emunah and our approach to all the mitzvahs of Torah. And perhaps we can find a remez in tefillin shel rosh, tefillin shel yad, to the two dimensions of the commitment of Klal Yisrael to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Tefillin we wear on our head. That's indicative of the place where we think, we analyze. Tefillin shel rosh. But tefillin shel yad we wear on our arm, which is indicative of maisa, of action, of fulfilling the mitzvahs. And we need the machshava to, in a sense, forfeit our machshava. We sacrifice our rational ability for the sake of the yad. So the rush is the, in a sense, the fundamental mitzvah of emunah, in which we suspend our rationality. It's connected to paraduma, if you will, and the yad represents the ability of man to commit himself to all the asiyas of all mitzvahs, despite the fact that he doesn't understand them. And as we said before, this parasha Paraduma, having been presented by the Torah immediately following Korach, because Korach was arguing, he was cholek on Moshe Rabbeinu. He separated himself in that sense from the Jewish community that accepted the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, and in accepting Moshe's authority, accepted the authority of the Torah, Korach tried to undermine that authority and question it, using, as we said before, human logic. And the Torah here, immediately following, in the aftermath of Korach and his rebellion, Zos Chukas HaTorah, understand that leave your own rational, you know, you're a big shot, you know, you've got all sorts of Phi Beta Kappa achievements and medals that are dangling from your shirt, from your cloak. Leave that all out. Forget about your gaiva. The approach to Torah and mitzvahs has to be one of humility, one of bittul, one of emunah, faith,
We cannot understand. Just as we don't understand the zigzag of Jewish history, we don't necessarily understand the mitzvah Torah. But we're dedicated and we're committed to fulfill the Torah. He writes on it be his will that we should put the Torah before ourselves. Don't start with yourself and your big shot. I understand and I grade. It has to be. But the Torah comes first, and with that dedication, we'll certainly be zochet to fulfill all the mitzvah.